Good morning. My name is Will. It's good to see some of your faces again, and other faces, maybe not so good. So, reading in the scripture, you notice how Paul, Peter, John, any of these letters, where they've been away for a little while, and they wrote to people they've known before, people that they've lived life with, and it always says something along. So here's what I heard you guys are up to, and that they would say things like, I'm happy to hear that you've been up to this, or unfortunately, I hear this has been going on while I've been absent. So I think it'd be appropriate just to start with that, to say thank you. If you don't know, so I've been the pastor here for 7 years with my wife, Brandy, my son, Johnny, who's working in preschool today, and then my son, Tyler, and my daughter, Jordan. I'm sorry, I almost called you my son. And we came to a place of some real burnout, and us and the elders, well, we had prayed, and then the elders had prayed, and so we took a 3-month sabbatical. So here we are today. And prayed a lot about, what do you do? What do you do with all this when you come back, right? You guys have been hearing a lot about church, about being a body of believers, about, what we're supposed to do as opposed to what we're doing. And so, I was watching my kids play some video games, and I thought, what's going on, God? How can I share this? Because I think a lot of you probably think, okay, Pastor went on a vacation. And it's not really like that. What God is teaching me, what I'm doing right here is playing Mario Brothers, for those of you who can't see. Anyone remember Mario Brothers? Maybe I'm dating myself here. But when it comes to a video game, here's a statistic, guys, that you may or may not know. Did you know that most of the churches here in North America, they cycle through pastors and ministry folks? And the bigger the church, what they do is they hire more people to carry more load. And ultimately, because these pastors seem to feel like they need to be the ones that save people. And like corporate CEOs that run organizations and are excellent. The only difference is I've been a vice president in an organization, and the spiritual weight of this is unprecedented. And so what you do a lot like this game is you go through, you have some triumphs, right? I just got that mushroom. I feel big. I feel energized. And then, you're moving along, and then you make a mistake. At some point in time, you make a mistake. And what do you do? You make a mistake, and you technically kind of respawn, and you keep pushing it. What I've learned to do, guys, which is so damaging, is you just keep going. You keep going. There's two ways. You either you win or you lose, and you keep going until you expend yourself. Keep going till you expend yourself. And we all do that. You get to this point where you feel stuck. Anyone? Yeah. Dried up, maybe? Empty? Not hopeful? Not joyful? So Brandy and I talking about this, one thing that we know is that if anything, we want to be honest and open. And I asked Brandy too, I'm like, what do you think? If all of us, we know, even in John, right, he talks about you and I, for all those who have come to Jesus, who have agreed to be with him, we've been given the rights to be sons and daughters of God. And so each one of us, even some of us that don't really know each other yet, what unites us is our Lord and Savior, and the fact that we get to be family with him. Brandy was saying this to me, and I said, wow, you're right. To be honest, hearing these sermons and stuff, Randy, it makes me feel uncomfortable to be, I know I'm an attention hog, right, like to make these jokes, but I really don't feel comfortable with it being all about me. And part of me wanted to come and just preach a regular sermon and almost pretend like nothing had happened, because that's my way, right? You keep pushing forward. And you know, Brandy was telling me, she says, you know what? In a family, you have to communicate. In a family, you have to communicate even when it's hard, even when it looks bad. Because this is definitely me. So here's where I was in the last year. Honestly, I felt it. I see why the average American pastor is burning out 3 to 5 years. I felt it, guys. I feel it still. And I like my wife, I like the way that she put it too. She said, like, this wasn't you. For the past couple of years, what I saw from you being dried out, like kind of frustrated, emptied out, depressed. You're not a depressed person. Like, this is not who you are. And the simple act of taking a vacation, you leave for a couple of weeks and you feel, okay, maybe at the end of like two, you can stay away for 3 weeks. You're not even thinking straight yet. You're not even rested yet. It's an interesting thing. And to be vulnerable to you, it's very different than when I had a job. Like out there. I mean, that was stressful. I used to have jobs where, you know, you're always on call. And, you know, once you make a certain amount of money, then the company you work for owns you. The American reality, I've been there. I tried to take a camping trip and some guy left me a message because we fired him and he was going to kill himself. I mean, I've had that type of junk happen, okay? But not that. Not this needing a rescue big time. Not like that. Not like this. And so, once again, men, I think you probably know this. You're probably quite a few steps behind your wife. Anyone else? Like your wife, they can see things that you don't. It's one of, other than you being so pretty, it's one of the great things that we got when we got a wife, you know, other than someone so smells good and pretty, they're also smart and more aware. And so even a year ago, it's like, what do we need to do? Because you feel this, you know, you feel this. It seems to be okay because the kids seem to be okay. You know, the marriage is going okay. The church is going okay, but you don't feel okay. And having a good wife is such a blessing. Sorry to put you on the spot here, Brandy, but it's like she saw that in me and she says, there's something wrong. And she even talked to a few people. Well, ultimately, all of us really ignored that. We kind of just pushed through on the game more, you know. It's like, well, okay, well, we'll just make a different move this time. Maybe if we just go differently this time, it won't, the outcome will be different. And then same hole you fall in. Same hole, same problem. We needed a rescue. We pray when we need a rescue. This is the life, not only my life, but your life as a believer. When we need rescue from a place we can't get out of, we call out for a rescue. In John 10, there's this metaphor given to us, guys, and that's Jesus as a shepherd, as a good shepherd. And so if he's the good shepherd, who's the sheep? Us. Yeah, that's us. And it says this, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. See, what I could see there, Randy, is as to be honest with you guys, here I come to the end of this 3 months, and I'm just like, I don't even necessarily know what I'm learning. Everything's not clear. Everything is not finished. But then I saw this. I was reading, and I thought, wow, this is exactly how I feel like a sheep. So imagine with me, okay? Imagine with me. If you look at a field, right, and there's an area where the sheep are, and it's drying up. They've eaten all the good grass, and it just seems kind of like a hopeless spot. But the sheep, which are stupid, right? The sheep are famously stupid and would just die without a shepherd. And you can picture the good shepherd saying, okay, sheep, I'm going to open this gate and take you into a pasture where there's more green grass. And I think you and I, as believers, we read that and we'd really like to not be that stupid. We wish the good shepherd, we think the good shepherd somehow, Reggie's like, got you and I and had a meeting, got the sheep together and says, here's a map, here's the next 10 years planned out of how I'm going to provide for you. So let's execute stage one tomorrow. That is not how it works. The way it is with the sheep is like, stupid sheep, grass, eat.
Okay.
And that's me. So what do you do? Well, ultimately, it took me a long time to say, I need to do something different. And God gave us this idea of the sabbatical, sort of randomly, actually. And then random emails, the way that God works, you know? Like, you get home, your wife's like, I got this email about sabbaticals and pastors. I don't even know where it came from, but check this out. And of course me, nah, I'm just going to tweak that a little bit, try to make the jump a different way. What God showed me is this. What he showed me is he said, you know, you don't just push forward on this game because at some point in time, you're just going to destroy yourself. He said there's a cool thing on these systems and it's called the reset button. So, reset. So he asked me to do this one thing after praying about it, okay, right? I mean, a year behind the smart wife. You guys are with me, right? You're a year behind. But eventually, your hard-headedness comes around and you're like, let me look into this a little bit more. Like, Jesus, help. And Jesus said, talk to Rick. That's what he told me. Go tell Rick about this. Here's these articles you've been reading. Here's what you're finding out. And so I went to Rick, and then we went to the elders. And to be honest with you, it kind of baffled them a little bit what to do, and me. And it's nervous because sometimes God asks you to do these things that freak you out and make you afraid, because how could we even do this? This isn't a thing that we've done in this church. You guys see brief church history. They plant a church. They find a pastor, fries himself out within 5-6 years. One day comes and says, my last day. The new guy comes in who fries himself in 6 years, and then I'm here. No break, no reset, no planning, no difference. This is the ridge. This is what's happened over 20-some years here. And now here I am, 7 years in, feeling these same kind of weird feelings. Help Jesus. And he said to do this one thing. Go talk to this guy. And then after praying about it, I was able to go to them and say, I don't know what to do, but God wants me to walk into this sabbatical. Well, what are you going to do? What's the plan? No plan. He said, do it. Do this. Hey, sheep, grass, eat. And then an amazing thing happened. Even the elders struggled with it because they didn't have that context. So, and whether we did it right or wrong, there's this word called grace. And so I've heard about you guys coming together and ministering to one another. I've heard how you've loved one another. I've heard how you've prayed for us. I've heard how you're becoming more of the body here than maybe we've ever been before. And I thank God for that. I thank you for that. But you have to ask the question that we had to ask. It's what is the Lord telling me? What is he teaching us? What are you telling me, Lord? You know, what do you want from me? Where are you leading me? What is the next step? Well, I'll tell you this from experience. One thing I can tell you for sure is most of the time, the good shepherd, he leads you only into the next step. That's what we were talking about, right? He leads you into the next step, the next drink of water, the next spot to go eat. He doesn't often lay out the whole journey before you, just the next step. Have you seen that? Are we sharing that? Okay, cool. We're on the same page. We've had this same experience, maybe just from a different angle. I'm still asking this question, by the way. Okay, what are you teaching me, God? What are you teaching us? Because what we found in talking with the other people in this church from since I've been gone is they started saying things like, "Well, I don't know what the sabbatical was like for you, but I feel like we needed it probably more than you did." Because it's forcing us to get out of the comfort zone, and it's setting us up for what's next. And the people who stayed and embraced that, I think I hear from you that God's teaching you some new things separate from us. Praise God. Because I had some conversations, frankly, that were scary with people because it was like I was their God, and if I left, everything would fall apart. And if you felt that way, then let me just say this to you directly. You need to sit before the Lord because this is Jesus' church. He is your Savior. I quit. I'm not going to be your Savior. And the next pastor you do that to, don't. And don't do it to Ross as your worship leader and the other elders here. They are not God. They will not save you. So what is God up to? So here's the worst question of the last 3 months for me, this. How is your sabbatical? How's that question, babe? We hated it. Here's a good picture. That's about right, right? Is that right, Jordan? That's about what it was like at our house. Tyler, does that look about right? Yeah. Well, what you have here, if you can't see it clearly, apparently it looks like it was a house at one point in time, and it was put on some sand, apparently without any foundation. Now it's broken up into so many pieces, it's hard to make out. So I did this crazy thing. I actually went away into the woods overnight and was journaling and trying to listen. Of course, guys, it took me almost 3 months of the sabbatical to do this because that's what kind of cloud I've been in. How was it? I was depressed. Still, I was trying to figure out, what do you want from me, God? What are you trying to teach me? And he gave me this, Luke 6. Luke 6, and if you're taking notes here, it's Luke 6, and it's 46 through 49. And it begins with this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I've read this so many times, but I think we don't link the beginning of this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house, right? The man building the house, okay? Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. There we go, right? Once again. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Hey, some rock climbers, would you guys, if you're willing to lay on the ground, would you come up? Anyone wants to help, man? Any rock climbers, you want to come? It's going to require just laying on the ground for a minute. Can I get some help? Do you girls want to come be part of this illustration for me? help me. I want to help teach the parents. Okay, cool. So give them a hand. Anyone else? Or youth. Youth can come too, or even adults who would like. Okay. So here's what we want to do. Why don't you just come lay on the ground, just like something like this. Okay? Just pick a spot. Everyone pick a spot along the ground all over the place, okay? Spread out. Find a spot to lay down. Okay. Hello? So here's your motivation. Here's kind of what's going on. I want you to look as if, okay, here's your acting motivation. I want you to look as if you were in that house when the water came and you were just laid out flat, okay? On the count of three, get into the pose. Okay, one, two, three. This is great. So here's what God showed me. What's a foundation? Concrete? What's a foundation? Stability. What else? The base. The first thing, when I used to do construction loans, we'd have course of construction inspections. And one of the things you'd look at is you would look to see if everything on the foundation was done right. A builder, there's all the underslab activity. If there's plumbing, electrical, footers, all of that has to do with the foundation of the house. And then they decide whether they'll put a foundation of wood or concrete, right? But what God showed me is, as I looked around at my life, this is what I saw. You see, because the man who's not putting God in the priority, in the right place, in the right order, not listening to that simple thing that God's asking you to do. When we don't do this, men, and understand, women, I don't mean anything derogatory to you, but men, we are supposed to be the heads of our household. I haven't been the right way. I haven't even been the head of this church like I needed to be. And we've got to step up in a way, because once we get first things first, once we get the foundation, men listening to God and doing the next thing he's asking us to do, we build our house, we build our life, our businesses, our churches, our families on a foundation that's firm. And when we don't, what happens is when the water rises, because this will happen. You understand, this is great what you guys are doing, but some of you won't be able to keep it up, helping other people, right? Somebody will quit or die or move. Right? Coronavirus is coming for us all, apparently. Dos Equis virus has got some of the rest of us down right now. So waters will rise. And if we're not careful, here's when you look around at your life, at your church, at your business, at your relationships, here's what you're going to see. Because you failed to do the first thing first, the water rose, and the ruin of the house was great. Some great acting. You guys like this? You want to get up? You're comfortable? Okay, you want to stay there? Okay. Here's what I saw. See, foundations have to do with order. You guys heard that we have a God of order? And there's an order to things. And when we get it out of order, when we aren't obedient, we're like the man who comes to God, who tells us what he wants us to do. We walk away and we don't do what he's asked us to do. We build our life. We put the first thing, the things that we want, the things that we need, we build a life our way. And when things go wrong, which they will, our house is in ruin. Okay, give the actors a hand, guys. Good job. Guys and girls, thank you. Thank you. You can have a seat again. Nice. So foundation has to do with order and God's order for things. We've got to know what comes first and who belongs where. See, what God is... The one thing I think that God has on my heart right now is just that I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a man led by the Spirit. And specifically, the type of faith I'm talking about, because it's so fuzzy the way it's defined. I think what God is showing me is that really faith that he's asking me for It's all about obeying the next thing Jesus asked for me, without knowing what was next and trusting that he'll take care of that next thing. So 3 months ago when I said goodbye, I didn't know what would happen. You didn't know what would happen. When you didn't run, you didn't know. And today you still don't know. I don't know. I mean, we don't, right, Corey? But faith is the next thing. That's what Brandon, like, oh, so you excited? You know, you guys excited to come back? I don't know. Kind of nervous. I don't know. Well, what do you know? Well, Sunday, it's a couple days away, and I'm going to preach. And I'm going to tell people what God wants me to tell them. And then we'll see what's the next thing. I'll just go over there, Reggie, and eat up that grass. And then Jesus will say, okay, well, let's go this way. And before you, as your shepherd, I have to say this is a little bit what the church had looked like. You know, Rick has come to share a couple times. Josh, I listened to those sermons. Thank you guys, all those gentlemen who had shared. And I think what we've all found is we've gotten a little off key here, off cue. So Smitty, as an expert contractor, how do you fix this house? Bulldoze it. Bulldoze it. Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what God told me. Reset. The reset is the bulldoze, because you don't just, you know what we should do? It's just, if we can just put some blocks under that side, we'll be good. We'll be golden. Or maybe, hey, you know, Corey, let's just sleep on the right hand side of the house for a while. We'll get that to shift back. Or, hey, you know, let's dig a moat around the outside so next time the water comes, it'll help to, no.
No, that won't work.
Baby, if there's anything we've learned, right, when you've learned things the wrong way, when the foundation is wrong, you've got to take it down to the bare ground again. Reset. Right? And I have to tell you this, because this is, I know, if you want to get technical, there's consequences for what you do in life. It's not necessarily like Mario Brothers, because now that I've reset that, it's like I never played the game, and I can start over anew. In life, there are consequences, but with God, he gives us an opportunity to be a new creation, to have a new life, to be reset. And now if I'm going to do that, what was the first thing, Derek? The first and most important thing that if I wanted to build my house on a good foundation, what did I need to do?
On a rock, right?
So the first thing I've got to do is go back to the truth, the rock, the Lord. The first thing that I need to do if I'm going to be the pastor here is go back to the truth, the foundation of the rock. The first thing each one of us need to do, sons and daughters, family of God, who meet in this place to worship him and who long to take his good news out to Prescott Valley and Dewey and Humboldt and Chino and Mayer and Prescott, is we've got to knock it all down and rebuild. And you guys have been doing that. Well, here's what I know. The first thing I am, son of God. Remember our brother Joe moved to South Carolina? Sent me this text message. Had no idea what he was talking about. Just the sheep. He just went to the next little piece of grass. He said, I feel like I should tell you this. Well, God put this on my heart, that it's time to get back to work, put your hand on the plow, but only one hand. And he goes, I don't know if that means anything to you. And I'm like, yes. Yes, it does. You see, because if I'm going to be a spiritual leader, I need to be a spiritual man. And so I will love you and pray for you, right? But you're not getting both hands anymore. I'm not putting both hands to the plow, destroying myself, destroying whatever was supposed to be the gospel for this. Like Rick said, this was supposed to be fun for us, to minister to other people. Not always easy, but we're supposed to have joy in this. And I think what we're finding in church is we're not enjoying it enough. And so I'm going to be the man, right? One hand to the plow, one hand praising God, holding his hand, doing the things I need to do to be the first thing I'm supposed to be, which is a son of God. Second thing, husband. You know, if we aren't husbands to our wives, and it's more than date nights every week. I mean, that's great. There's practical things we can do, but men who are fully alive because they're getting filled up by their father aren't depressed. It's like my wife had said to me, you know, really looking at it, I feel like I lost you. Understand, I didn't like move out, did not talk to her. What she saw from me was a depression and like a sadness that just was not befitting to the man I am, the man who she fell in love with. And when she needed me, I didn't have much left. And then after that, I'm currently a father of kids that live in my household. So they take the next priority, and that other hand has to be for them too. Then it's this thing that God's asked me to do, which is to pastor you. And Rick laid this out really well. I'm supposed to do what? Three things, right? Pray, teach, and shepherd the people that God has entrusted to me. And that's if you choose to be here, then you're the people God's entrusted to my care and my love. So I'm going to leave the saving to Jesus. I want to tell you this too, just that way we don't have to have 150 meetings, because it's just not going to happen. I don't have the time for that, okay? So I'm hoping I'm answering some of your questions. I got to leave the saving to Jesus. I suck at it. Been trying for 40 years to save myself, and that's what I did. Leave the saving to Jesus and leave the ministry to the saints and their gifts. And dwell in the grace of our God, who unites us by making us his. What's the vision? No, not today. I don't know yet. Right now, maybe I'll see you next week. We'll see. We'll see what God says. If he says, here's the grass, go eat it. What I'm telling you right now is what I got to tell you right now. This is special, I think, for all of us right here. Ephesians 4. Have you read this one? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. There it is, right? For building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what I'm supposed to do from here. Now, that's you guys. You're equipped to do the ministry. Interesting enough, I was even thinking about this just last night, Jim, and I thought, weird to come back in this place. What I mean by that is, like, with not a lot of answers, right? I don't have a picture that's coming up next with, like, here's the new house I built. I'm kind of just like chilling on the beach right now, trying to find the right rock to build it. Does that sound about right, Brandy, you think? Kind of trying to do that. I'm inviting you there with me. I do know this. The whole reason why we have church, I mean, I know this much, is there's some good news there. And it is good news, but I think because of the wrong foundation, because of the things that have happened in life, some of us have lost how good of news this is. And so in this process, I think when we've got things in a better order, as God had planned, what happens when when we do things God's way is there's joy, there's peace, and there's life. I mean, Jesus said this himself in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Is this your experience of walking with Jesus? I don't know. But if it was, would there be something for you to invite someone else into? I like this even better. This is the Message version. Check this out. Are you tired, worn out? Right? That's like, okay, yeah. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on religion? So I might mind you, okay, I still feel that way a little bit today. I don't feel woohoo, right? Like, yeah, everything's light now. No, it's not light yet. It's not light yet. And then he says, if you're feeling those things, tired, worn out, burnt out on religion, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I think that's what he's summoning me to, even now. Because if I came back just rested, then all of you would think, you know what I need is a vacation from church and from my job. This that he has for me, I wasn't going to find in the sabbatical. This is what he has next for me. This is what he has next for you. Not in the absence of work and following, but while you work with him and follow him. It's not a vacation promise. This is a life promise. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Well, we need to know more, God, about how to do that, but that's not for today. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. This is great. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Who wants to sign up for that? Right? So I had to go back to my wife, right? She's smart, and I asked her, I said, so, okay, we know if we're going to be family, we know we need to have communication, but, and if we're all changing, right, we're all wanting to change and start with a new foundation of how we're going to do church, how we're going to be sons and daughters of God, how we're going to walk with God. Guys, the days are over for you of being like, okay, how am I just going to go here and get fed today? That's for the Golden Corral afterwards. I'm going to teach you, pray for you, try to shepherd you, but there's a lost and dying world, and only through you, empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit, will anyone be able to hear about God. And only if you walk lightly, then you have anything worth telling anybody about. Jesus didn't say, follow me, come to where it's hard. You got to go to church every week, make each other mad, right? Call each other hypocrites. Give them 10% of your money, right? And put up with some long-winded pastor. That's not what his offer was. No. And so I asked Brandy too. I said, well, so to get that kind of real change over time, to really walk together, what would you say it's going to take based on what we learned? And you know what she said? She said, grace. Let me show you the unforced rhythms of grace. This is what we need for each other. So I ask for your grace trying to figure out a new way, the better way, the right way of being a pastor to you. I asked you to, the grace that comes from God, that you would share that with one another as we're trying better to minister to one another. I ask that you'd have grace for each other and your families, that you'd have just grace for this imperfect body of believers who is really trying to do life and ministry the real and messy way. And when we make a mistake, it's okay. When you try something new and it doesn't go right, like on that game, that you give yourself some grace too. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for going on this journey with us. So I'll close this out with a little prayer, and then we'll worship, and we'll just eat the next little plot of grass that the Lord lays out for us, okay? Lord, I thank you for you coming for us, Lord. I thank you for the love you've shown my family, the love you've shown our church family. I thank you for all the men and women who have banded together, Lord, to try to be obedient to do what you've asked them to do. I'm excited, I am, to hear about all the great things, Lord, and also nervous, not wanting to screw it up. Jesus, you are the good shepherd, and this is your church. You are the Savior. You are the author and protector of our faith. You are in control of everything that's already happened, everything that's happening, and everything that will happen. And this is all about you. If anyone is to be saved, it's you. If anyone is to be baptized, it's you. If anyone's to be called out to serve you, it's you. If anyone's to be transformed, it's you. If anyone's to feel loved, it's you. If anyone gets sad or depressed or dried out, you are near. And so we sing praises to you, Jesus, about who you are. And we're here, we're present. We want to be a family, but we need you to teach us how to do that, Lord. Teach us the unforced rhythms of your grace. Show us how you work. Invite us into a life with you. Let it beam from us. Let it go everywhere we go so that we can be honest. And when we're depressed, we're depressed. And when we're rejoicing, we're rejoicing. But we're not hiding and we're not lying. And even though we live in a world with lots of pain, we have a Savior who is so good. So we just take a few minutes here, Lord. We're going to sing some praises to you. But I just want to invite everyone here, instead of amen, let's just say something we're thankful for, some kind of praise to our Lord. I'll start. Jesus, you never leave me. You never forsake me. Anyone else?